WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thousands of Chicago homes have lead in their drinking water. It is just one of many communities across the country dealing with lead in the water system. Of course, we all remember Flint, Michigan, still dealing with that water crisis. We've been examining that all this week here on 720 WGN, specifically in a new series called Bridge Over Lead Water, reported by Doma T. Pongo. Doma T. is with us this morning. Doma T., I mentioned these homes in Chicago that have been tested. I think 70% of the several thousand homes had dangerous lead levels. This is a serious problem that seems to be cropping up in many communities like Chicago.
Yes, it is. And thank you for having me on this morning. This has been happening in a lot of communities. And this mainly started because in the city of Chicago, Chicago was one of the last major cities to stop mandating that the lead service lines be used in its homes. So, you know, we knew about the dangers of lead in the United States in the 50s and 60s, where around that time, major cities like New York were beginning to stop using these lead service lines when they started building these new buildings. Well, in the city of Chicago, you had to be a licensed plumber in order to install lead service lines. And it wasn't until they changed the building code in 1986 when the city of Chicago stopped mandating the use of these lead service lines, 30-some-odd years after we already knew about the dangers of lead. And it goes into a long reason about why that is, things about, you know, how powerful unions were at the time and how it was politically unpopular to stop mandating the use of lead service lines because that meant different jobs for a certain voting block. But, yeah, so Chicago was one of the last cities to make this change. Right now, we're paying the price for it.
Staggering 400,000 potential lead lines in the city. It brings to mind, you know, just the enormity of trying to not only replace some of that, but kind of deal with this problem. It seems like a big deal, big problem.
It really is. I don't know if you remember last summer, there was the issue with where the city of Chicago was trying to address this issue at city locations, and they had, you remember the park districts all in the city of Chicago were continually running those pipes so that they could flush the lead out, and they thought that by continuously running them, don't drink the water fountain. We're doing these stories at the Chicago Park District, none of the parks, because they're going to flush all this water out, and it didn't work because it's more complex than that. And if they had to do this at the parks, then imagine what we should do at the homes. And so what happens is the city says, listen, if homeowners are concerned about this issue, you could pay the $4,000 to $7,000 yourself to remove these lead service lines. But most homes and households don't have that money, and ergo you have 700,000 households that are potentially affected by this issue. The Chicago Department of Water Management is only required to test the lead content or lead levels every few years in only 50 homes. So they could choose which 50 homes they decide to test this out at. Well, Chicago residents started to call the city themselves. If you call 311, you can get a free lead testing kit sent to you. And they said, wait a minute, we think something might be wrong with our water. So the Chicago Tribune did an investigative report about 2,800 homes were having these independent studies done. And if you look at it, 70% of those homes tested, of the 2,800 or so, had lead levels in their water that was present, that was beyond the level that the EPA would set that was deemed drinkable in bottled water, which is 5 parts per billion.
Yeah, Doma T., you know, the worst part of the story is we look to Flint and see how that was dealt with, how it is still being dealt with. I know you talked to the mayor of Flint for your survey, for your series here. What did she say? Mm-hmm. What did she say about how things are progressing there, and perhaps what the lesson could be for other communities?
The main thing as far as lessons go for other communities, she said, continue to get this problem out there and take it seriously, and then to pay close attention to what city officials are doing to respond and push them on whether or not they're making the right response. So in the city of Chicago, they started to change the main service lines and not the lead service lines that connect to this other piping. And she said, you know, different things were being done in Flint where, you know, that problem could have been addressed more efficiently. And I also talked in the series to Alderman Scott Wagespack, and he says, if we were going to change these main lines, we also should have replaced these connectors now while we have the opportunity, because experts say if you go into the plumbing of the city, you can agitate the lead service lines and actually make the problem worse. And we kind of dive into that in the series that airs live, but in the bonus content and the interviews that you'll hear when we post them online Thursday, it really goes into detail about what that process will look like. But other things she talked about is what type of communities does this happen in? You know, Flint was mostly black, mostly poor town. And she said that played a major part in them not receiving resources. The worst lead levels are seen in the city of Chicago in mostly poor neighborhoods on the south and west sides of the city. So this has become a campaign issue for some of the, you know, the people of color who've been running for mayor in the city of Chicago. So those are some parallels I saw, the slow reaction, and also when media started to point this lead problem out in Flint, government officials tried to shy away from it, didn't really address it head on, wasn't really saying whether or not this is something we should pay attention to, or they kind of downplayed the problem and put a political spin on it. Same thing's happening here. We know what's going on, but the Chicago Department of Water Management wouldn't talk to me for the series, and we haven't heard Mayor Emanuel really say something forceful about what he plans to do for the city in terms of this lead issue.
Yeah, and the worst response could be criminal charges. I know some of the folks in Michigan were brought up on criminal charges over this, so perhaps, you know, that might get people off their behinds or no?
You would think so. I do want to reiterate, though, too, you know, they had lead levels. You know, the EPA sets the level at 5 parts per billion for tap water, for bottled water, 15 parts per billion for tap water. In Flint, they were seeing levels once the system was moved from the Detroit water system to the Flint River, upwards of 400 parts per billion. We aren't seeing levels that high in the city of Chicago. The thing to know, though, is no level of lead is safe in drinking water, no matter what, you know, parameters that the EPA sets. So it's not as bad as it was in Flint, but those trace levels can be linked to neurological diseases, behavioral issues in children, and some behavioral scientists are saying maybe that's why we see high levels of, you know, crime on the south and west sides of the city and the academic performance we see, because they're drinking this water and it really is affecting kids and their ability to learn, ability to behave, and what their cognitive, what their cognitive ability will be like when they grow older. So still a serious issue. We hope something can be done to make sure that the city starts to pay closer attention to it. But I also don't want to overly alarm you guys and believe that what we have going on here is as serious as it was in Flint.
Yeah, and I think people will remember how the country dealt with lead paint when we put our heads together on that. That went away pretty quickly, didn't it?
It really did. It really did. And right now, and one of the reasons we're raising the issue now is because it's National Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. Right now, we're focusing on water. That's the thing we're really focusing on. But you can also, you know, make sure you're careful about if you have paint chips in your homes. You know, kids pick up paint chips and put them in their mouths, and that really makes them vulnerable to it. So it's not only lead exposure through the water that's dangerous, but also through the paint. But, you know, we got that paint issue under control, and it's about time that we really paid attention to what's going on with our water.
All right. Domati, we appreciate it. Good reporting, and we'll be listening at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. here at 720 WGN. And then you say Thursday is when all of the extra material will be posted online, the longer interviews.
Yes, all of those longer interviews will be online. I talked to an activist who really dives into this issue. We have Alderman Scott Wagespack, who has been trying to hold public hearing on this issue. There's also Alderman Taliaferro, whose children suffered from lead poisoning through water. You hear a bit about it in the series, but you'll hear that full interview with Alderman Scott Wagespack talking about what happened to his fellow city council member. And then, of course, you have the mayor of Flint, Karen Weaver, who I talked to, is really candid and a very interesting interview. And you guys can see what's still going on with Flint, Michigan today. And really, you know, let's make this an issue that residents pay attention to and hold elected officials accountable for.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Domati.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, Domati Pongo from the WGN Newsroom. Again, the series Bridge Over Lead Water. airing this morning at 7 o'clock, then at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. And, of course, Dr. Material posted at WGNRadio.com.